There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. But I'm a bad boy, I'm a doing times. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm out in the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one and new source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. I am Chippick of Boss McFall, and today's Thursday, so I don't have my speaking mouth on, so I'm going to say all kind of weird noises today, because,
that's,
you
know. That's the excuse, huh? That's that it's,
Yo, go with what you got, right? That's all I have. That's Golden Age. See? It's not Tuesday, so I can tell you.
Apparently so, yeah. Wow, your mouth only works one day a week.
That's what I've trained it to do. Golden Age Emmett is there.
What? Give me sorry for your wife.
Oh my God. What? What is going on? Are we in a bizarro world here?
That is
an inappropriate comment.
If it's bizarro world, then this is happy, cheerful clots. No soapbox clots. No soapbox clots.
It's gift box clots.
Gift box. There you go.
I'm around you.
Sound like Frankenstein. All right, let's get some headlines rolling here.
All right. So a couple things here we're going to be talking about in today's show. Of course, padded with the usual stuff from Kingfisher and Pokeprof and From the Field. Playdom gives us a sneak peek at a new alt for Hyperion. Looks a little darker, right? Like maybe the darker side of Hyperion. I don't know. We're going to find out. Also, we've got just under 3 weeks until the end of PvP. So what do we think? Is there anything that we're noticing? Themes, metas, anything like that we want to talk about? That's really it, unless they announce something else during the show. But Paul, what can people currently buy from Playdom?
Well, we have some exciting sales at the moment. You have basically until the end of today to pick up all of the AOU stuff. It is back on sale. That is the costume alts for all the characters. That is the EISOs for all the characters. Well, for the agent that replicate the character abilities. So those are available until it says expires October 9th, but we all know that means it expires at midnight tonight. So, you know, be aware of that. And we've also got some of the old safeguard suits available. Those are 60 gold a pop. They are quote unquote on sale from 64 gold and bundled with themselves. Cause you know, that's how they advertise them. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you missed any of those, here's your opportunity to go pick up those. I happen to be missing one of them is really good. It's the tactician's one. I missed out on that one, but I won't be buying it. No, yeah. But I can't justify it. It has no gold. Mm-hmm. So, but in any case, if you missed one of these costumes, these are build around costumes, so go for it, you know, snag it.
They're nice.
So that is our sales of the moment.
That's really cool. We do have, and they didn't actually reach out to us. I just happened to see somebody posted it, and it was attached to other people who do listen to the show. I'm not sure if this agent does or not, but basically I saw it through connections, and I thought, hey, you know, we don't have to be exclusive. If they don't listen, we still can shout out if we see it. So Agent Blonde Barbie, that's her actual agent name, is level 300. So welcome. This is Sparta, a much nicer, gentler area of playing.
Nice. This is Sparta.
This is your Sparta dream house.
Yeah.
Malibu, Sparta.
Hey, life in the Sparta. Y'all probably don't know that. Never mind. I have a daughter who's turning 9 tomorrow. She watches Barbie's Dreamhouse, and I know the stupid song.
You could have gone,
you're a Sparta girl in a Sparta world.
Yeah, I could have done that. It just, that when I think Barbie, I hear that stupid song from the show. Anyway. So what do you think about the Hyperion alt, Ibbot?
I think it's pretty cool. So I'm looking at it right now. It's black and gold. It could be, some people might argue that it's blue and white.
Oh, God, that is not a thing. Stop. I hate that.
I did not even think about that until I said it. So some people were saying on Twitter that it is the evil Hyperion. There's, you know, question about which version of Hyperion this is.
So it'd be kind of like, but Angel and Archangel, perhaps, and alts?
Could be. Okay. Yeah, could be. The surprising thing is not the fact that the colors or who he is, but the fact that it's a lockbox character that's getting an alt release.
Oh, yeah.
If you take hybrid out of the equation, and he had alts.
But he had alts right out of the gate.
He is getting very quickly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hybrid had alts right out of the gate. Hyperion is getting one added later on, and he's the first lockbox character to do so, which I hope means that we'll see like the white version Magneto and you know, some of these other lockbox characters getting some alternate universe kind of stuff. Be really cool.
We've got some clarifications from chat. It's Hyperion's hero costume. The one we have right now is his evil suit.
Oh, really? So the current one is the evil one. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Huh.
Interesting.
But they didn't make him evil at all. Although, I guess technically, to be a lockbox here, you're supposed to be a bad guy.
Right.
All right. Technicalities. Man, that you want to talk about skating by a technicality. I'm pretty sure that sums it up right there.
Right.
So we never fought him. We never saw him. It just happens to be his bad guy suit.
He just appeared. It's funny, when I first saw the tweet, and you get that little image window on Twitter saying that there's, you know, here's a new image from MA Insiders. My first thought was Sentry, because I just saw middle of the torso and some of the gold and the black. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, is that could be Sentry. He's more blue and gold, but then opening up, it's Hyperion. Apparently, this is going to be a general release alt, not part of a covert ops or anything like that. It's coming soon, trademark.
I'm starting a new campaign, Sentry in 16. You know, I don't care who you elect for president. I want Sentry in the game.
How about hashtag Sentry this century?
Oh, see, this is why Brian's the best. That's great.
That gives him roughly 70 or 85 years to get this thing.
Yeah. Well,
gonna keep him down. Sorry, I'm just doing that.
Well, as we actually, I forgot to throw it in the headlines. I don't even know if you guys saw it today, but there was a release from Playdom that I'm going to have to go to the lounge right now to find the link. So I'm doing that.
I've got the link. And
okay, go ahead and take it.
I'm going to read it out loud because,
good.
Cool. Because we have begged and pleaded and coerced and just everything to get them to finally do something like this. This is a step in the right direction.
Amen.
And this is what they posted. Status note 10/7/15. Agents, as we continue to roll out new content, we are aware of some existing concerns that have led to increased frustration among players, such as issues with allies and flight decks, among others. We wanted to take a moment to address a situation of balancing live ops, which is day-to-day maintenance of the game, and content development. MAA can't live without each of those two pieces working simultaneously. One of the functions of a game developer is to ensure that there is enough new content being worked on to sustain interest in the game, while also overseeing that day-to-day functionality is conducive to gameplay. To be completely transparent, sometimes it's not possible to achieve a perfect balance. There are a number of factors as to how things are prioritized. No, it's not always business decisions. Player experience and enjoyment is seriously taken into consideration. New content is on a tentative schedule, pending approvals, production time, etc. With each new content, we also try to address existing issues while not compromising the integrity and stability of the new content. So where does this leave us? Well, on our side, we are committed to the game. We have awesome content coming up, and as evident by recent late-night releases, we are also working at all hours to ensure the game is running as effectively as possible. And yes, we get that this doesn't address specific issues, we are still working on them, but we wanted to reach out to acknowledge what players are saying and let you know that we are listening.
And this is where you get the slow clap. Yeah.
Yep.
That was awesome!
Just the fact
thank
that...
Thank you!
Yeah. Thank you, what, Paul? Also, thank you to Playdom.
Well, Ben, thank you to Paul. But yes, thank you to Playdom. No, absolutely. It's like, no, like you said, we've been begging for that. Just tell us you understand there's something wrong. We know you're fixing it. It just helps to hear that, man.
Right.
Well, So, I mean, the first step I want to take after having read that is, so let's you know, dissect the, you know, business speak, if you will. What they're basically saying is that they have a relatively small team. And I mean, they didn't.
And we knew that. We guessed that, right?
Yeah, right. We've guessed that before. And that they get pulled in a lot of different directions. We've discussed that before as well. We've actually theorized that that's the issue. They also kind of hinted at the fact that, you know, when they were talking about the tentative schedule, pending approvals. So they, you know, they do their work on their end, and everything's got to go to Marvel for final approval. We know that. That's how all the other games work, too. You know, so right. They set everything up. They should get all the art assets together.
Or worse, it might go to Disney Interactive. And I only say worse because they have to be much busier than just Marvel.
Well, not Disney Interactive per se, because they just kind of like...
I'm saying it's a possibility that might have to go up the chain even further.
I mean, we don't know exactsies here, but we generally any game like this has somebody at Marvel who oversees those projects. They get the whole thing. They, you know, they go over it real quick or whatever, maybe not so quick, and they make final decisions, and they say this is okay, that's not okay, you know, fix this, whatever. So, and for developers, for game developers, we know that this becomes an issue sometimes when they deal with, when you have to deal with another firm or another office or whatever, it slows things down. You see it with a lot of the Xbox and PlayStation games, the ones that have live updates, such as the one that I'm referring to directly is like Warframe, for example. We know that they don't release updates for the PlayStation players as often because they have to send a whole chunk of them to Sony at the same time so that they approve everything. And it's crazy. So when you have to get outside approval, it slows everything down. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's in their defense. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't necessarily speed up that process.
No.
So we know that they're working on good content, and the content lately has been good. I mean, the Spider-Verse thing, yeah, we got to a point where we're pretty freaking tired of spiders, and I hate spiders anyways, even though I love Spider-Man. But, you know, clearly they put a lot of time and effort into that.
Yeah.
And it showed. Maybe not everybody was super happy with the results of that, but that's, you know, individual preferences. So fixing issues in the game, it's something that they're aware of. This is a good thing. Having an easy fix is not necessarily, you know, there. That's the thing. Like, just because they know these things are issues doesn't mean they have a reasonable fix that is quick to implement and get out. And also, whenever you do any kind of bug fixes or anything like that, you kind of want to run it through a debug team and make sure that you don't cause any other problems because... You know, as these things are, this system relates to that system to, you know, a dozen others down the line, and changing a couple things here and there could cause potential catastrophic issues. So this is what we asked for. Yeah. This is what I asked for. This is one of the things that got me to the point where, you know, everybody's been joking for a couple months now that Klotz doesn't play the game anymore. And it's largely true. I only play intermittently. Okay. But that's because I didn't have any hope from them. You know, from Playdom, from a development perspective, I was frustrated. We didn't hear anything from them. They didn't say anything. And now they have.
They emphasize they are dedicated to the game and to the best possible playing
they can give. Everybody's going to say that. I mean,
yeah, well, as opposed to, it might be some bad stuff coming down the line. Just stay tuned.
I mean, they're talking about, you know, a lot of stuff down the line that they want to do and want to add to the game. So I mean, that is some good positive stuff for sure that's coming out of this.
Yep. I like the fact that they highlighted that the game can't live without each of those two pieces working simultaneously. Yeah. In other words, that they have to balance, you know, current, you know, day-to-day operations with future development. Right. Big games, you know, big AAA titles, for example, they don't necessarily have that same limitation because they generally have a live team and then they have a development team, you know, that are different. Mm-hmm. For example, MMOs and whatnot. They have a team that works on the new content exclusively, and then they have the other team that works on maintaining day-to-day stuff exclusively, generally. So MAA is not big enough to do that. But, yeah, I mean, this is a couple people were calling for the soapbox from the lounge, and I ain't got nothing to rant about right now. So,
Just, yeah, I get it. All thumbs up. What's so boss? This is good.
I mean, the big issue, the one that Nikolai in the chat room or in the lounge was bringing up is one that is a bug where the, you know, when you've trained somebody, you don't get that message saying, hey, they're now level 13 or now level 14 or 15 or whatever. It just, they appear in your, in your team already trained. And you can't really do anything. You can't pick another person to train. You can't do anything unless you close the team window, reopen it.
Yeah, it kind of glitches, but it comes back.
That's pretty minor, really, when you think about things and how bad things have been for a while. That's right. If that's the worst thing that's going on right now, then that's great.
Well, it's not. There's definitely, you know, the King said he got an update, and then all of a sudden he couldn't get his alliances again, which they mentioned directly. He couldn't visit his allies and get stuff.
Really?
He couldn't
accept
gifts. I mean, you know, it went on for so long, and then he got them back, and we were all happy. And then he said recently, so there are things that don't affect all of us, but there are frustrating. I mean, the core of the game seems to work for everybody. You know, to be able to get in and play, but there are definitely some things in different areas of the world that need addressing. But yeah, I think overall, even if they weren't addressing the actual issue, the infiltrator flight suit, anybody, you know, they're not addressing an exact issue, they're still talking to us. And that's the first step. You know, we're getting back to that. We had it for a while and we missed it. And now at least we get this update, and that's good. So again, thank you, Plato. Now go fix it. But thank you for telling us that you know it's there.
Exactly.
I definitely appreciate it. Talking about, PvP, because that was the next thing that we want to talk about. I don't know. I haven't noticed any bad juju on it. You know, I talked extensively about the pre-VP and the issues I had there. I'm actually playing fine, but I did notice I put it in the lounge and nobody else seems to have this issue, but I paid attention and tested it. I was using Kurth, Scrapper Kurth, level 15, on it with, she has the, when you trigger the runes, they don't go away. ISO on her. That's what I've run for four or five seasons now. And I took her in with Sandman because I've got him level 15 with all his new EISO and the new Bruiser EISO combined. And it's really, really good. But what I was noticing is she is not triggering runes at all. And you know, love you guys, but some of your responses really irritated me. So I won't call them out. But I was like, really? You think I'm a noob? Really? Stop telling me those answers. But the gist of it is, she will put, I'll put like the Rune of Fear on all of them and it'll be there. And I watched, okay, it does trigger periodically. So it's not like it's not workering. See, chat room in here, I know what it has to do. I know she has to smash him in the face to trigger it. What I'm trying to tell you is she's smashing him full on in the face and it's critical hit, but it didn't quite kill him. And I wait for that rune to pop off. Nothing. It does not trigger for whatever. I finally had to take her off my team. And I saw another Kurth just hit my team and hers triggered, but I don't know why not. But it's not triggering. And I'm glad they fixed that when you miss, it doesn't trigger, because that didn't happen all the time. You'd be dodge, then rune blow up. You'd still die. I'm glad they fixed it. But for some weird reason, I am not getting my level 15 scrap. I have not taken the Bruiser version in. I should probably try that. Now, follow-up attacks don't count. That would be a key, but they should count, in my opinion. But I actually have done single direct attacks that still don't trigger the runes. But why would they say follow-up attacks don't count? That should absolutely count. It counts for the absorb energy for the other attack. You know, when you have Red Hulk, it counts. It counts when you use the new Bruiser EISO. That's kind of bugged as well, I've noticed. Even with my Sandman, it works evenly all across the board, but it just doesn't work correctly. The Bruiser EISO, which says if you get hit, you'll absorb energy and stamina, and the other person, of course, loses energy and stamina. Mm-hmm. If you dodge, you still get the energy and stamina.
Oh, really?
From the other person. Yeah. And it works both ways. If they dodge me, they would get my energy and stamina as well. But yeah, the dodge, you should have to be actually touched to make it work. But follow-up attacks across the board on anything, on bleeding, especially on bleeding, if you do a follow-up attack, you bleed. So I don't know why, if that's the case on Kurth, if she does a follow-up attack and she smashes them and hits, it should trigger the rune, in my opinion. That's just me. Okay. Well, before, oh, sorry.
Submit a ticket. Hold on. If you want to complain about it, submit a ticket.
Nah, you're right. And I should, actually. El Catran here has a good, interesting theory. It is possible an undocumented patch that added it to the blocked effects by magic warding. That's a possibility. That we don't know that magic warning blocks it, but it very could, it, especially with all the skeptics and the horndoggle Hexenjager guns out there, that it's definitely possible that, okay, McFall, get off Klotz box. I apologize. Here, Klotz, you can have your box back. Yeah. All
right. Dude, I mean, I've got grooves on it. I mean, it's
yeah. Been,
like, come on.
You know,
I'm like Homer Simpson with that thing. Okay, you're gonna mess up my butt groove.
Right. I apologize, but that's the only thing I've noticed about PvP. I do know I get some wins. It seems to be balanced again with your away from keyboard of some ups. Now somebody. Oh, here's a question I want to ask Ibbett or Klotz, if you know. I've seen tale of the Emma. Of Emma Frost, Infiltrator Emma, having some new EISO that when you put her on the team, she's like a tank now and just really racks up the green numbers on the defensive PvP?
I haven't seen, I think I've maybe gone up against maybe one or two Emmas in PvP. So haven't seen, I've been seeing way more electricity teams, you know, yeah. Beta Ray Bills, Thors, and the dude in the Runaways to chase.
Yeah, Victor.
Victor.
To be fair, back in the day, Emma was relatively tanky.
She was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was indeed.
And she used to be the tough break on the team, if you will. You know, the so I mean, it's the only reason why I think she lost her effectiveness as far as that goes is because a lot of the newer characters just had so many ways to avoid, you know, like the tanky aspect of characters. You know what I mean? Where it's just like they had different workarounds, you know, and different, like, stacking up debuffs and all that kind of stuff. So,
Agent Arena says it's the new Infiltrator EISO that they put on her.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah.
What is that? I'm not familiar with
it. I'm not familiar with it either, okay. But the point is that she was tanky before. A new change could make her tanky again. A lot of it could be the meta shift, too. She might be tanky in a newer meta, you know, where things have changed.
Emma plus covert ESO level one mental anguish. Anyway, okay.
Level one mental anguish is a big deal.
Yeah. Precursor. Yes, it is. Oh, it's my a God.
Big deal.
Oh, Lord. She could break the meta if this is, if this stacks up to be what it's.
Well, I think that's what whoever's running her is shooting for, but yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. But, yeah.
Why did Hulk get an AOU ISO? 42. That's the only answer I can give you. I don't know.
Why didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't get his own.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it was just right. The other major members.
It's likely due to the fact that maybe he just doesn't have an ability that would translate well to the agent.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hulk smash, you know. That's why I can't run AOU Hulk, man. There's too many mind control variations out there, and man, he could smash the wrong person.
Yeah, totally.
I love him. I love playing him in PvE, but man, PvP, you're like, hey, I destroy all these teams. Hey, wait, he just killed my whole team. Oh no, that sucks.
Other than that, anything else?
To touch back real quick, to go over the covert empowered ISO 8, because we didn't really address this. This was their fix for the fact that the suit just isn't going to work, you know,
the flight suit.
So this is something they gave us in
okay. Everybody who qualified to get the flight suit, the infiltrator flight suit,
right,
got the covert empowered ISO 8 instead. And it says class infiltrator, balanced, immune to off balance, preemptive strike. The counterattack from combat reflexes is now a preemptive counterattack. Sneak attack. Counterattacks gain ignore defense, ignoring the defense stat and penetrating shield effects.
Wow, how did we forget that?
Yeah.
So, well, they just kind of like slipped it out.
It's true, but yeah, that, those kind of stats, you're just like, holy cow. I mean,
well, yeah. So this is
right. So a pre-counter attack, nice.
And ignores this, defense, and what was the other one?
Shield. It penetrates shield effects. So, That changes the game for some of those SHIELD teams. You know, like now it's the counterattacks that ignore, so it's not like every attack, but it's still
like a Blade of the Guardian or the what's one of the characters that people are using lately that does shields? Not a lot of Doctor Stranges out there.
I've got up. Well, I've done the Invisible Woman a couple of times.
Invisible Woman, yeah, there's a good one right there.
FF Legendary Hero is offering a correction to say that they did not say that they weren't working on the armor. They didn't say that they weren't working on the armor, but it has been months, and they don't have a solution in place. So I think you can consider this your consolidation reward, and considering
I'm going to guess that it's really just a short term, not a short term, but at least a. This is on our to-do list. It's low on our to-do list after a spec ops, after getting a Hyperion alt out, after whatever. My guess is that they won't just let this fall completely off their radar.
But
you think not?
Oh, dude, A-bomb, A-bomb's an infiltrator. Just so you know.
Oh yeah, so stick this on him, sure.
And he has a blade of Carapace, which does x3, which reduces damage taken. Yeah, this might make him a massive tank.
We're talking about.
Sorry, Jesus. You're pretty, Paul. Sorry, good.
I have some choice words for you that I won't say on the show. I don't think. Okay, you're not wrong, Ibit. I'll say that, that the suit is a low priority, I think. But the issue is, I think they realized that they were going to have an issue with all of the suits that they were going to start handing out.
Right.
And I think they realized that they really probably just don't want to do that. And what I think the likely solution is they give us this EISO because they've been giving out the EISOs instead. They go forward, and on the next cycle, when we reset after we've gotten, you know, an EISO for every class, like we normally get a costume, we're going to probably see the flight suits again. So they're probably like, why don't we delay all of them because we can't?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cycle and do that. So if we do get them back, I think that's when we'll see them come back.
It'll probably be after we go through a full cycle of the five class EISOs.
Which
sure, that gives them time.
We're over halfway through right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, infiltrator, scrapper, bruiser.
This could be Platon's Chinese democracy, basically.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Why?
Whoa. Jeez.
Because that's, Guns N' Roses should never be forgotten.
This is true.
Brian, after everything Platon has done for us recently, you just drag them invoke, through the dirt like that.
Invoke the GNR defense, sure. The GNR corollary, yeah.
At least it's not Saint Anger.
Right.
So this is not.
I could have brought up what was Duke Nukem. What was the Duke Nukem sequel that
Duke Nukem Forever? Was that forever. The one that was so bad?
Well, it was the one that never came out.
It took 10. No, it finally came out. It took like 10 years, and then it was shit.
It did come out, and it was pretty bad. Right. I mean, it was funny, but it was pretty bad.
Maybe we get it. Maybe they rename it the Duke Nukem Infiltrator suit, Infiltrator flight suit.
That'd be awesome.
No, I think Chinese democracy is that.
Yeah.
Just,
okay, Platum, this is a simple art fix. Just put a tiny little red Chinese sun on the shoulder of the flight suit.
Perfect. What is a Chinese sun?
It's the right. No, Japan had the rising sun. Whatever. Yes.
That's what I thought
you were saying, like a Chinese symbol.
Yeah, Chinese. Something that would say
Chinese. Chinese symbol, Charles.
The Chinese symbol for
do what Ibbot said.
Except there isn't one. No, I'm kidding. That's a bad
and make Let's, sure make sure that the tactician suit is not just green; it's the color evergreen.
Yeah, let's move along to one of our recorded segments here.
All right, I gotta buy glotzy flowers now. I've been mean.
No.
Here we go. Here comes the professor.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood PokeProf, and while I normally talk about some of the lesser-known heroes in the Alliance and how to better use them in battle, today I'm wanting to talk about a hero who's often used only for a single skill and otherwise ignored, despite how useful he can be in today's meta. He is the Internal Watcher, Heimdall. You have to admit, now that I've said it, that most people's strategies around the big guy tend to revolve around setting up the buffs with his level 9 and then letting his teammates go to town. Often, Hercules or someone else who gets supercharged off of Finest Hour buffs are the main way to go here. Mm-hmm. But ignoring what else Heimdall offers would be doing a disservice to him. I mostly talk about his Farsight here. All those annoying stealth heroes you've been dealing with kinda don't matter with Asgard's Protector in the fight. Heck, the same skill stops preemptive counterattacks, such as Fandral's On God and Spider-Man Noir's Danger Sense. He's even got an EISO that allows him to stop counterattacks before they start, which makes him an exceptionally strong hero in dealing with the fact that infiltrators are so strong now with level 15. Heimdall even benefits from the AISO side of things with the catastrophic AISO, which makes Uroblade one of his best skills to use in battle. I mean, a catastrophic attack with wide open, tenderized, and staggered for 3 turns and no cooldown? Yes, please. Heimdall is more than just his big old horn, and he's more than capable of showing this off in battle. Make sure to really look at more than just one aspect of a kit, and you'll go far. Walk the Rainbow Bridge back to our host's agent, this time with a report. Heimdall says he sees something odd off in the distance. Something trailing a blaze of fire.
Ooh. Wonder what that's in reference to.
Yeah, it's like, is Ghost Rider 2 coming for...
That's what I'm thinking, right? Maybe maybe he's predicting the Spec Ops hero as being that the blue flame Ghost Rider. So cool.
Well, I will say this. Pokey Prof is absolutely correct. Heimdall's the man.
Mm-hmm.
Except his big attack misses literally all the time. I played him for like 2 seasons in PvP, and literally every time I went to go for the Ho-Fun big hit,
that hurts so much when that happens. Yeah. But technically, that's true, except if you use Kurth against Heimdall and put Love Me on him, the Rune of Control, that hits every time on himself and his allies.
Completely.
Because the Rainbow Road, I go, oh, Love Me then. And sure enough, somebody hits her and he goes squack and cuts him in half. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate you, man. You're my boy.
Nice.
So thank you, Professor. And, you know, these won't always come, but we are very, very glad to have them.
To the people saying you need to use staggered in chat, they wipe it, dude. Okay. Like, everybody always says that, like, you got to stagger them, bro. I'm like, yeah, and there's a million ways to dump debuffs in this game.
Yeah.
And buff and everything else. Like, it's not that simple. Okay? I played him in 2 PvP tournaments. I'm not an idiot. All right?
Yeah.
You do staggered, and then they're like, oh, let me do all this other stuff. Or then you get the Q passive proc and all the other stuff. Like, there's lots of garbage, okay?
Hey, Charles.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Charles.
Yes, sir.
There's the soapbox.
I'm super tired of people saying stuff like that, though. Like, whenever you talk about a character shortcoming, they're like, oh, well, you got to do this, bro. And it's like, but...
Digital
like,
high five, man. I feel you.
You realize there's, like, you know, a million ways to drop debuffs and buff. And
a million ways drop to die in buffs. The
so.
So, yeah. And honestly, that used to be Nikolai's advice to me. Well, you just gotta do this. I'm like, shut up, Nikolai. You know what I'm talking about.
Nikolai gets that all the time from me. He's like, you gotta do this, you dummy. And I'm like, shut up, you dummy.
Yeah.
Shut up, fool.
He never calls me a dummy, but I call him mean names sometimes.
Hey, we'll put it out to the audience. We're actually considering an offer he made of doing a future foundation. We're not getting any future foundation anything anymore.
Right. He's joining the future foundation. Yeah. He's going to be wearing the white and black costumes.
It's got to be a spandex onesie, though.
Sure.
That'd be awesome. The future fight segment he's offering to do a future fight segment. So if everybody would like a quick update on that game once or twice a month, let us know. We're kind of interested in it. We want to talk to them some more about it, and we'll want to gauge your interest, see if you guys want to hear it.
And we know that not everybody plays that, so what we'll do is possibly tack it on to the end of the show so that you can skip it if you want to. But the game, because I've completely stopped.
I okay. Well, I don't want to side note it, but essentially they've they did something recently. They've added S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the game.
Right, yeah.
Which made me jump back in last night like and start Belinda playing a little
May
bit.
Like Belinda May and yeah.
Daisy. And they've got alts. So you've got Daisy and Quake. You've got you know, the same person, but different alts for nice. Coulson's there. There's some Deathstroke is there with an alt and it's specifically Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then a modern alt. So it's very interesting.
Deathstroke, really?
Not Deathstroke. Cots, how long have you known me and know that, you know?
Do you get Beast Boy?
Roll with it.
How about Beast Boy? Starfire?
Come on,
maybe?
Don't even. Teen Titan. Teen Titan added to any game anywhere would be awesome. You know, you do up, up, down, down, left, right, BA select, start, and you get Danger Mouse.
There you go. Perfect.
God. Okay, I'd kill to have Danger Mouse in a game just from my childhood. But
you
anyway.
You realize there's no chance ever that Marvel will like legit support any of our shows because you just continue to butcher their content.
Oh, no, man.
And then mention DC characters casually in reference to their books.
Yeah, you know, last week when I was eating dinner with Joe Quesada, he was just laughing at how badly I talk about this stuff. It's just, it's cool, man. We're good. So...
Just saying.
All hail the king. Here we go.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, for today's segment, we're going to do something a little bit different. Something I don't think I've done before. Or if I have, it was a very long time ago. For this one, I'm going to talk about a team idea and what I plan to do with that team. So that part won't be anything new. But what is new is I've already completed the episode, and I'm going to upload it right after the podcast ends. Since I already know the outcome, I'm going to give you some details about the team, and maybe a few hints, but I'd love to hear what you think happens as a result. Okay, so what's the overall concept of this week? Well, it's finally a stamina drain team. I like to say the theme is... all your stamina are belong to us.
Nice!
Now, we know with the changes to stamina, you actually can run out. My heroes have under 2,000 stamina in a fight, so it's pretty bad. Actually, it's only between 1,200 and 1,400 stamina average. Extremely low, in other words. Mm. And that comes as a result of not putting stamina ISO on any of my heroes for a very long time. Don't blame me, though, it wasn't needed.
True.
Even with that being said, I'll be honest with you, I haven't lost any matches due to stamina. I really haven't had any problem knocking out whatever enemy team I face with the stamina I have. So that could be considered as your first hint. For this episode, I had three teams in mind. Two of them revolved around an agent setup, and that setup would be the Bruiser Safeguard Suit, the Elite E-ISO, the T-Bolt Glove, Synthetic Cube, Signpost, Hugin's Eye, and the final item was interchangeable. For the first team, it was going to be the Legion Pulse Rifle, and for the other team, I was considering the Oni Breaker, or the Guardian Insignia. Now, I could just leave you with that and make you try to guess my team-ups, but that's not where I was really curious about your opinions. In fact, I'm going to give you a lot more about my setup and video. Alright, so the first team I thought of with the Legion Pulse Rifle build was Hulkbuster Iron Man and Age of Ultron Vision. Both of these heroes have abilities that cause straining. They actually have AoE attacks that cause straining. So hey, it sounded like a good place to start. Now, maybe a potential twist here, we actually stuck with this team throughout. So we'll get back to that, but I do want to tell you the other team-ups that I was going to use originally. But we just didn't get around to it. The next team up in build was going to use either the Oni Breaker or the Guardian Insignia, something to give my agent a little bit more survivability. If I went with the Guardian's team, he was going to be the main stamina drainer, but I most likely was going to use Hulkbuster Iron Man once again and Spider-Man 2099. Spidey 2099 of course has straining on his level 1, and I was going to throw the Snaring AISO on Hulkbuster's level 9. If nothing else, I think the team would have been interesting. At least something different. Then the final option was any of the previously mentioned heroes, and the main focus would have been Red Hulk. Red Hulk absorbs energy like no one else, so he of course is a one-man draining machine. Oh, and not to leave her out, Kurth actually could have been his team up, The rune of control from Love Me will completely drain a character's stamina when that rune explodes, so she is definitely an option. As far as my agent for that build, I was just going to use the Infiltrator and Powered Armor and the Covert E-ISO. Red Hulk was going to be a protector, so we weren't going to worry about that. However, like I said, even though we may take a look at these other teams at some point, the video just features Vision and Hulkbuster. And you know what, even though I like showing off three different teams, sometimes I think it's better to stick with one. So we're going to have two pretty long battles. Yeah, only two, they're long. And we're really sticking to the stamina drain theme. So what I want to know, in the chat, and the host can certainly weigh in, do you think that stamina drain is viable? Did it work at all? Did I have to abandon it? And did I even win the matches? Tell me what you think. Then, like I said, following the podcast, the video will be live. So go and check it out. As for the segment, that's going to be it for today, but I want to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to our amazing hosts.
That's a good theory.
Yeah, I think that a stamina team is great. Yeah. It's what do they call that? Is that a fatigue? It's almost like a fatigue. No, because that would take away turns. I guess it's more of like a mana drain in Hearthstone, the equivalent.
Yeah, that straining, it was interesting. Elkatran says the video was live on Tuesday. Yeah, because we were supposed to record on Tuesday and then mm-hmm. it didn't happen. I didn't go watch the video because I didn't listen to the things. I didn't know it was up. But that's definitely... Man, that's definitely an interesting theory because I've had it happen. I mean, I can't say I've lost matches because I've run out of stamina, but I'm definitely noticing straining will get you down. I mean, if you lose a turn because you have to refresh or rest, I guess is the better way to say that. So it definitely affects the battle. And if you took his theory and then took your armory and stacked everything defensive, which would give you health, defense, and is it evasion? I forget what the third one is that the defensive stack on your armory does. But essentially it makes you a team that you just want to quit because it's such a long battle. You may not, your team may not be able to stack up and beat everybody else, but they'll quit because they need to move on to the next battle.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody got that with Vision and Invisible Woman for a while, too. Like the team that just want to leave.
Yeah. Or Falcon Invisible Woman.
Falcon Invisible Woman. Yeah, what did I say?
Vision.
Oh, Vision. Yeah, I'm sorry. Falcon Invisible Woman.
That was something we kind of neglected to talk about recently. The stamina change.
Yeah. We did not talk about it. So let's do that.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, they basically stripped it off all the armory bonus and everything. And stamina is a thing now, which I personally think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think that was a really smart move, development-wise, because we had talked... It's been a while since I got up on my soapbox about it, but way, way back, I talked about the fact that stamina from the bonuses was so high that there was no reason to use it on any of the AISO, or not ISO, I'm sorry, ISO 8. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was no reason to build for stamina on almost anybody. And because the bonuses were so high, characters like Molly were way too good, you know, with their abilities that used a lot of stamina because they would just fire forever. Has anybody tried running her since this nerf? Because
no, not yet.
I would imagine that this probably took her out of top tier. Because she's only going to get to do it. But at the same time, it probably makes her actually fair, which is a nice change.
Yeah.
Not to say that there weren't ways to get, you know, to survive that onslaught or anything, but it was such a... When she was prominent in the meta, it was like once you saw her, it was like, I've got to kill her or I'm going to die. And so big change. And it, I agree with the assessment that... some people in the chat are saying. Somebody says that King ran her in a video and it didn't really affect her. Well, maybe that needs to be addressed then. But what some people in the video said, King already uploaded the video on Tuesday. I don't think he anticipated us not right, not yeah, going not at a normal show. Time.
Yeah.
And apparently what he said is that this strategy is a bit slow and it's a little too slow. And it's not going to get you there, you know, in the time that would be efficient. But that's doesn't mean that we're not close. You know what I mean? Like, just because stamina drain isn't a legit strategy today doesn't mean that a couple weeks, couple months down the road when something else changes or a new character comes out that also does it or an item or anything like that doesn't mean that we don't suddenly get that perfect storm of like, all right, stamina lockdown is the new build, you know? That could be a big deal. That could be a big meta changer. It could also really change how we set up our agent and, you know, stuff like that. Like, you'd look for, you know, basically any way to replenish stamina on a regular basis kind of thing. Any characters that do anything like that. This could be the beginning of a shift in the meta in the future if the pieces fall into place.
Right. Especially if you put it with a character like 2099 who has that built in and they're already having good attacks on top of this draining. You're right. I mean, it definitely is a play style for somebody, I would have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. So.
Well, this might be the new form of that big attrition team, you know, the wear you down, put you in the position where you can't do anything, and then just, you know, take over the game and run with it. So,
yeah, I love, by the way, something else that I think is affecting, it's not a huge game changer, but it's definitely affecting how I play, is that near fatal. Adding that, nobody really talked about the Venom Launcher when the Spec Ops was going on. And I built it first because it was cheap and the drops were very low on getting the pieces. So I just went ahead and built it because it was the 8, whatever coin, the name of the coin was to do it. And I got to say, I'm running it now in PvP because I throw it out. It's a AoE, so it puts near fate on everybody. And then I have my hero stack to be smashers. So even if they don't kill you, as long as they get you low enough, you're going to die. It's not a huge meta changer. It's not like I'm like, oh my god, this is the end of the game, but it definitely is a nice addition if you play like I do, which I tend to like to go in and smash teams versus strategize or lock out or, you know, now de-stamina whatever style you have. So it's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it in the bank
for sure.
Alright, from the field.
I'm clearing my throat because I'm going to read this first one.
Oh, okay, cool.
I am Agent CVE King. I'm 14 years old. My level's 300 plus. I want to share my feelings on MAA. I had mastered Chapter 1 of Season 2. I had heard that Heroic Age Iron Fist was good. I did a lot of hard work and soon after it, played him, nerfed him. But then I also decided to use him, then played him, nerfed him again. I felt so bad. Somehow I managed to reach Adamantium League, but then what I see, they extended it. I'm getting bored with PvP. Now they're selling the cube for 96 gold. I don't have the gold to buy it, but I really want the cube. I know only those who buy gold can reach high ratings. I think the cube is the best gold weapon of the game. Earlier there were tasks for the cube, but I didn't start MAA at that time. Now I'm suffering a lot. I hope they start the task of the cube again instead of selling it for gold. Playdom always nerfs heroes when they get complaints that this hero is very OP. Instead of nerfing the heroes, they should simply write in the reply that if you have any complaints regarding that hero weapon, buy it. This PvP is very hard for me because they nerfed my team. I'm losing interest in the game, and I hope somebody in Playdom listens to me. Man, sorry to hear that, dude. And yeah, you know, it's... You don't want to get into the rut of feeling like only people who spend gold can win PvP, because it's not the case.
Yeah, it's not true.
You can watch King's videos on Poor Man's PvP. They're great, and they give you some good ideas. Heroic Age Iron Fist, despite a couple of nerfs, is still a very viable PvP character. And again, don't think that the cube is the end-all, be-all best weapon of the game. It's not. And Paul can even attest to that. That was a topic of discussion.
20% is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. But I gotta say, Paul, the game has convinced me to kind of side with you. I used to always argue about 20%, blah, blah, blah. But it does get old, like Sandman. I was running Sandman, and I could only use his AoE attack because literally every time I'd use the hammer, which would smash the crap out of people when it hits, or even his fist to set up more grit, dodged every time. So it to me, the number 20% is arbitrary, but the effect, you and I are definitely agreeing on the effect of it's procking way too much, the Dodge is. So yeah. You're right. It's not, the cube is not the end all be all, but with the fifth slot, it's a permanent attachment to my team.
Yeah, it has been for me too. But
it's not the most powerful item in the game, but it's arguably the most essential because defensively it is the strongest item in the game, I would say. Mm-hmm. Because it gives you the flat 20% dodge chance. And it also, I can't remember the name of abilities right now. I'm pulling a McFall. Light Fantastic. That ability is super strong, especially in PvP. But even in PvE, it's useful when you really need that time to take a second to recover. Right. If you don't really regenerate much health, it buys you some time.
And it clears debuffs most of the time.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big benefit as well.
You know, yeah. So it's a mild heal. It basically gives you a turn, or at least, a chance to weather a big AoE attack.
Oh god,
it's clutch, and in most cases it drops debuffs.
So here's some other tips. I didn't want to cut you off there. Did you have
what I was gonna say though is I don't agree with, CVE King here that you have to buy gold to get into the top. That's not true.
No, no.
But what I have said before and what I will say again is that it's going to take a tremendous amount of effort on your part. If you want to compete at the top tier of this game, you are going to have to grind. You're going to have to grind all of your characters up to 14. And I say 14 before anybody corrects me. I know 15 is the new max. But really, 14 is the goal. Because you got to hit that, the super Spartan status of before. Mm-hmm. And then you can start working on 15, because 15 is a whole different, it's a whole different issue. And it's 14 is attainable. We know that. Like, people were able to do it. And even people who were not the most hardcore players got pretty close to maxing out their squads. But that's what you got to work on. You got to work on grinding up that hero bonus. That is the hands down most important thing in this game. Having a good team, a cohesive team, is super important as well. But having those stats to back up any build you have is how you win. It's how the best people win, is having those stat bonuses. So I think you can definitely, hit it hard and grind and get there if that's your goal. But losing interest, hey, I completely identify with that. Now, he had one other comment about he thinks that Playdom shouldn't nerf things and that when they get complaints, they should say just buy it. I completely disagree with that. I think that, especially with a team as small as Playdom is, it's really easy to put stuff out there that has impacts that you just don't anticipate. And we've seen that before. Heroic Age Iron Fist is a perfect example of a character that needed to be tuned. Maybe not nerfed. Nerf is the wrong word, because he's still strong.
He's still very strong. Yeah.
He's still a meta player. He's still very good. But he's not as busted as he was. He was definitely busted. He was too good. And I had just gotten him when they nerfed him, and I was like, boo-hoo, you nerfed my new toy. But I played with him for a bit, and then afterwards I was like, you know what? This was a legitimate change that needed to happen, because I both played with him and I played against him, and I found that pre-nerf, there were times where he'd be super frustrating and just, people would, the AI would sneak out wins on defense that they just shouldn't have because of, the way he was built at the time. So, sorry, CVE King, I can't agree with you. Like, some things do need to be addressed, and just telling people to buy the latest flavor of the month hot item or character is not the solution.
No.
As a matter of fact, that's what pushes people away, especially free players.
And I gotta say, everything being balanced makes it boring. I mean, equally balanced. Like, Future Fight, I can level up any character I have to the same level, and they essentially just play through the level the exact same way. Mm-hmm. They just have different animations. It's different attachment emotionally to your favorite characters, but they kind of play the same way. And to me, that's, if you have too much balance. Now, that's not saying that they have a version of like PV. It's not really PvP, but they have other versions of the game. But I'm just saying, here with imbalance, I mean, I can take the Hulk, the AOU Hulk, and build him up and take him to the PvE, and he just smashes everything. The same is true in PvP. He could smash everything. He's very unbalanced. So the balance is that mind control. and it throws off. It's not it's a catch. It's not really a balance where everybody's leveled evenly. It's still unbalanced, but you can work around it, and that I think is the key. Unbalanced to me, unbalanced brings strategy and challenge.
Sometimes unbalance just wheels out of control.
This is true. That is true. I agree.
The other thing I wanted to throw in there is, and maybe he already knows this, but there's a lot of free ways to get gold, or inexpensive, less expensive ways to get gold other than just shelling out the money for it. Complete all the chapters in season one, for example. Complete the dailies, or at least get 4 stars on the dailies, and you'll get some gold. If you 5-star them, you get some CP, which is also really good. And if you use a team like one of these autoplay set it and forget it teams, whenever you can, any combination of Union Jack and Rocket and some of these other ones, Star-Lord a little bit, Spider-Man Noir. Teams like that, then you can basically just start the fight, go do something else, come back, make a couple of attacks, go do something else, come back, and it'll almost always complete for you. Keep an eye out for sales on Facebook Gold, not the gold sales that Playdom has, but the cheaper cards you can get at like Target or Walmart. Sometimes you can get a $20 card for like $15. So use that, get some gold that way, or save it until there is a gold sale, and that way you get that double bonus.
Right.
And then of course the offer is to, you watch a video. Sometimes you can get some gold from that. I haven't done those in forever, but you're only 14, so it's not like you've got a credit card and you're going to be buying flowers anyway from 1-800-Flowers, but there are some other things that you can do to get some gold and get up a little bit of a collection.
The daily mission, you complete that. And you may have mentioned this earlier, but I'll just rehammer it home. Daily mission, you do up to 4 stars every day. You'll get 1 gold bar every single day.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, he's 14 years old, in junior high or high school at this point. He could turn into a major player if he just started spending a lot of money on flowers.com.
This is true.
There's a whole different benefit that may pull you away from this game, but don't worry. You will still be rated 300.
You'll definitely be a super Spartan.
All right. What's our next email?
Agent Tech Paradox says, "Greetings, agents. Agent Tech Paradox here, checking in from the now mostly harvested plains of BFE, Illinois. While listening to episode 108, I once again found myself wanting to chime in, specifically regarding Blade and the question of why haven't we been using him. I had a big list of reasons why I typed out, but I realized I can sum it up in 3 points. Okay. 1, he's a scrapper. PvP is bruiser heavy these days. Enough said.
True.
2, moveset is complex and takes too long to set up to be effective in a PvP world where most matches are done in less than 3 rounds. Fair enough,
yeah.
3, any benefit gained from him being able to get out of being mind-controlled by Enchantress is outweighed by his weak active damage output, and her healing from magic attacks could offset any passive damage from the bleeds. 3 strikes and he's out. As for the new article on PvP Season 24 that dropped on 10-1, I have the following observations. 1, basically we're getting shafted on stamina costs in PvP, which we haven't ever had to worry about before because of the bonuses. Half the fun of PvP was that we didn't have to worry about stamina levels. I can't say I really like this idea. I'm going to chime in. We kind of talked about it a second ago, but I think this is better for the game overall. I think it was kind of just carte blanche was not good. Like, it was too much. Mm-hmm. This will make people have to make smart decisions. You can't just spam all your abilities sequence anymore. Right. Now you'll have to, manage your stamina a bit. 2, A-Bomb will effectively be in dodge everything mode if a tactician so much as breathes on him. I expect to see him play in play on protect teams once PvP is over, especially if the Carapace passive does decent damage reduction to offset anything Quicksilver might bring against him. 3, they're finally admitting they can't do Jack Diddley Squat with a flight suit, so they're basically giving up and giving us the ISO that would have been the reward for that season. Yay for us that won the suit, because we're finally getting something that actually compensates us. But boo to PD for not being able to make it in 4 months since the PvP ended. Well, we kind of talked about that earlier. So, I suspect they will be back. They will just be back as a complete cycle. That's all I have time for as I head back to work. So remember, if you keep both feet firmly on the ground, you're going to have a hard time getting your pants on. Agent out.
Yeah, take that, Casey Kasem. Yeah. Her legacy of Casey Kasem.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Agent Archdemon writes in. I know I didn't write in for a while, but I doubt anyone missed my GOT book-like letters.
Game of Thrones.
Sure. I was at the country this
Those
weekend.
Those books are like really long, Charles. That's the reference that he's making there.
Sure. So I was at the country this weekend, and I saw an opportunity in front of me. The opportunity to be an inheritor and play out my own version of Spider-Verse. Yes, there were that many spiders in the garden. But I took a different approach to the inheritors, in which I took a windproof lighter, a can of body spray, and torched the bastards alive.
Nice.
All kinds. I'm not going to list these off because they freaked me out a little bit. I also really? Named... I'm not afraid. You know, it's like weird. You talk about, okay, it says a weirdly colored one that seemed ripped out of the Savage Lands. That image alone, I can kill spiders, and I'm glad he did.
Kill it.
It's like,
kill it with fire.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess he used a can of Warbringer Axe body spray.
Nice.
Axe should totally market a new scent called Warbringer.
There you go.
Yeah. Once. I mean, to put on the shelf, I would never wear it.
Right.
I'm not 14 anymore.
Yeah. So needless to say, it was glorious. In the words of Dimmu Borgir, fire is with or against you, and so it burns. Speaking of spiders, I have four favorites out of the bunch. Mayday, 2099, Noir, and Anya. Mayday and Vic, you get Children of the Revolution trademark. I claim the name, not the team. Named us, okay, whatever.
Named due to them both being children of parents with great contributions to the Marvel history.
They're quite banging so far. First time in a very long time that I try a KF team kill fast.
King Fisher team,
I think. Yeah,
I don't know. These anachronisms, man, you're killing me.
Kill fast. That's an accepted.
Okay, that was his team though, right? Because he hit when the shotgun the Demon Set shotgun came out. He was like, just take it and one shot everybody. Kill them fast. That's why I thought he did.
There you go. Okay.
Nothing to comment regarding PvP as it sort of works. I won't even try to dissect it because I'm too old for that. Arch Inheritor has fled. Jesus, curating Dodgers.
Nice.
That was fun. That was a fun email. So, I haven't really played with Mayday very much. And Anya's on the flight deck right now because I'm focusing on PvP, so I don't have time to play with her. Mm-hmm. But he says that Anya's pretty good. Have you gotten to play with her at all?
She's been a regular on the deck. Spider-Man Noir is probably the one I've taken out and used the most, just for clearing dailies anytime I can.
Him and 2099 definitely are.
Yeah, 2099 is good as well. Yeah. Haven't played with Anya either, so.
Oh, there we go. Well, he usually levels them fast, and he's a good reliable source for how it plays. So
he's got something like 30 or something 15s already, probably more than that.
Probably more
50.
It's closer to 90.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Agent Scanlon says, "Hey, FTH crew, Agent Scanlon reporting in." So we have the Bifurcator, Probability Field, and Meteor Smash as hero level 9 abilities turned into equipment from Mr. Fantastic, Scarlet Witch, and Hogan, respectively. Which hero's level 9 would you most want to be turned into an action for the agent to use? Lots of good potential choices. My personal vote would be to having Star-Lord's.
Who?
There you go. Element Gun giving the sweet multi-action item. What are your picks? Until next week, Agent Scanlon. So...
I would have to go with Doom's. I want Doom's epic cannon as a weapon now. His level 9.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, that's a good one. We kind of already got that with Meteor Swarm in the Hadron Collider. We've kind of already got... Null's level 9 as part of that.
What I don't really care for is the knight. Was it the Black Knight? What's his name?
Yeah, Black Knight.
Yeah, his level 9 where you just call a horse and the horse really doesn't do crap.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, you can keep that. I don't need that weapon.
Yeah, Emma Frost. MA Clairvoyant says Emma Frost level 9 as a gun would be great. Jeez.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's a good thought. That'd be a good, that's a good topic for the Agents Only Lounge. So if you're listening, Agent Scanlon, throw it into the Agents Only Lounge and you'll get a bunch of great answers in there.
Yep, there you go. All right, Klotzy.
Agent Thriller writes in with, "Hey, FTH, maybe you could mention having the flight suit uniform come in and only utilize the exoskeleton form. We see the agent form, so why not switch it from round one? No need for the option above the stamina recharge to function. Liking the new infiltrator EISO, though." Signed, Agent Thriller. Thriller.
So, I'm usually up on news. I understand we have this now, but they apparently snuck out the EISO. The EISO was not awarded when we first finished PvP.
Wait, what?
Really? Infiltrate? I don't know.
Say that again?
I thought it was. What? So, okay. My understanding.
No.
What?
No. Oh, man. No. It was it was just handed out.
So how did I miss the news? Usually I get all the links to the news, and I'm searching the stuff. I saw this nowhere. I thought it was just, I thought it was in my inventory from the beginning. Because I know I have it.
No.
Yeah, I thought it was added to my inventory automatically too, wasn't it?
Well, it was added automatically, but it was recent.
But it's recently.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, it was recent. It was there was a post. It wasn't in the news. It was a post on the actual flipping news feed. I'm not using flipping.
Oh, see, I don't read those because those are typically there's stuff I already know. I mean, because I watch the Twitter feeds and I watch the Facebook page and I even follow Ben Morris and check out his stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
McCall, all right. you're about to get the rare, elusive, double face palm.
It's so beautiful.
That's right. It was in the patch notes. That's right. Yeah.
And you see the patch notes. I don't understand.
Your reference game's on point today, though.
Just weird. Thank you. Thank you. So, all right. Yeah, it's maybe I've been too busy lately. I don't know. I haven't even finished all 5 of my PvP battles every day, but I did miss the announcement of it coming out. Some they're like, yeah. So I was like, yeah, that's what we got before, right? I don't know. All right, Agent Jones writes in, "Hello, my fellow agents. I have an idea. It might be cool, Brian, if you use your 3D printer to make ACP or action point, depending on who you ask, as a giveaway in the future. Also, just for complaint's sake, now there are too many good weapons in the game. So I'll hear from you again. Hail Hydro, an offshoot of the original organization."
That's right. That's their sister. Their splinter group is Hydro. Sure.
Hydro. Hail Water. All right.
It's funny because I actually did use my 3D printer to make some silver, some coins, mm-hmm. Game coins. It would be cool, actually, to do some CP. Actually, if I had purple and I printed the same coin, the same silver coin I did, then I'd automatically have shield points.
No,
so CP might be the way to do it. Although I don't have green filament either. I've got silver, gold, red, black, white, and blue.
Here's the thing. You only have to print one ever, and then you just never give it out.
That's true.
Like every time we do a contest, you hold it up to the camera and you're just like, saying, "Hey, you could win this.
You could win
and
this."
And then you won't, we never give it
the
away.
The RNG did not smile on you today. I'm sorry. You get the middle finger prize.
That's right.
Can you 3D print a crappy ISO 8? Like just
sure. Oh, like with originals?
Yeah. Like
oh, like the little diamondy shard thing? Yeah. Or the diamond thing or the shard thing?
Or the shard thing, yeah.
Yeah. I could, yeah. I was thinking I could do a UISO, but I don't have anything clear, so I'd actually have to do it, get some clear PVC or whatever and just make two end caps and have a fake ISO. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. So, and you also have to make sure that it's cost effective because I don't know how much filament. I don't know. The 3D printing, I have no idea what cost goes into all that. So
I have to use gold to buy it.
Well, as long as we're all aware of what it takes. So.
Maybe if I 3D printed gold, I'll just have a cycle. Agent Greg Dew wrote in.
Oh, wait, before I want to set this up. I do. Sorry. Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about this at length on Breaking the Panel when we record it in a little bit. But what Greg Dew is giving us is the final mobile minute ever. because it has been announced this week that Disney Interactive / Marvel has pulled a whole lot of mobile games or their support for it, which one of those is MAA on iOS.
Yeah, actually, I think this it's more relevant to talk about it here. So sure, once we read the email, we'll talk about it here. I think it's more relevant here than BTP.
Sure.
Plus, then people will hear it sooner.
Yeah.
Agent Greg Dude here, and it's time for the final installment of the MAA Mobile Minute. Disclaimer, this may take longer than a minute. The iOS game has finally awoken from its deep coma as PvP 20 was launched in late August with the rewards of Nova, the Blaster Safeguard Suit, and a relentless EISO. The season was scheduled to end on September 23rd, but was extended by 2 weeks due to massive bugs and crashes, including the app not being compatible with iOS 9 for a few days. So, game day was pushed back to today, Wednesday, which was yesterday, but the PvP screen now says 7 days left, meaning this season will be going into its 7th week. Wow. One of the big bugs has been the phantom losses on offense. Yesterday, I launched the game for the first time in a few days. I saw a long list of defensive battles, some wins, some losses. I then fought a battle with my team of rescue and anti-venom, and it was a fairly easy win. The game crashed when it got to the victory screen, but that's not unusual. So I reloaded the game and went to the PvP report screen to make sure I got the win. It did show my victory, but it also showed a second offensive battle that I never fought. It was a loss and was a negative one between both battles. I've seen other phantom losses during the season, and the two message boards that I visit have many other examples. I haven't really been playing this game lately. It shows that I have 57 attacks, but I'm not sure if that includes the phantom losses. Between all the bugs, the lack of content this year, and the announcement this week by Disney, I don't really see any point in grinding out PvP. I've never finished higher than Gold League on the iOS game, so why try to grind out battles to win 10 gold for a game that's basically dead? It's time for me to move on to a different mobile game. Any suggestions? I've already tried Future Fight. I like the game, but it's a hardcore grind. I grinded my heroes to a point, mostly 3 stars or higher, and then quit playing. But don't worry, Agent Greg Dude is still going strong on the Facebook game as I hit a major milestone last week. I got Black Bolt, the last 200 CP hero that I needed to recruit. I still have 6 heroes on the recruit tab, Spidey Noir, and the last 5 90 CP heroes going back to Kate Archer. I was focused on ignoring all distractions and shiny things that I didn't have to buy at that moment, so I could finally climb that mountain of old Spec Ops heroes. It feels great to be off the 200 CP grind, so I can now focus on other things besides a few 90 CP heroes. I want to start getting some class-changing alts for heroes whom I haven't purchased any of their alts for yet. First up is Emma Frost's Phoenix 5 Infiltrator alt for 51 CP, and then I'll work on taking Spidey Noir off my recruit list.
Yep.
Signed, Agent Greg Dude. Yeah, so we touched on this, but Disney Interactive pulled a bunch of iOS games or mobile games, not just iOS, but mobile games lately, including the MAA version that's running on iOS. No big surprise. That's probably so much work to maintain separately from this game because they were on a different schedule. So somebody had to go in and program all the old Spec Ops and PvP rewards and things like that into the iOS game. And who knows how many people are using it. I think, you know, you've got one platform that is dwarfing all the other platforms. So you might as well put all your resources into that one.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Which is why they shut down the servers on Platinum.com for MAA.
Right.
The big ones, Marvel related, Avengers Initiative, Captain America Live Wallpaper, which came out with the original movie. Mm-hmm. Captain America, Sentinel, Liberty, flipping through here. Marvel Avengers Alliance, Marvel Run, Jump, Smash. Let's see. There's a bunch of others. Of course, your Monkey Island 2 was big for people. That's not Marvel related. Star Wars Assault Team. Star Wars Tiny Death Star.
Has been pulled. Really? Tiny Death Star no longer.
Yeah, now here's the thing. You can still, as long as you bought it.
Flipping terrible.
Okay. It was terrible.
Now I can finally delete it.
It was.
Like, I'll keep it on my phone just in case they ever do anything to make it playable again.
Yeah, it was not good. But yeah, they pulled it. Thor, Son of Asgard, which is also, it came out with the second movie, I think it was, that I have on my tablet because it killed time, but it's not a good game. It was meh. So there's lots of others, but those were the big ones that got pulled. I was a little surprised by Guardians of the Galaxy, the universal weapon.
Now, oh, right, the one that was kind of the what was the game Battleheart? It was kind of like the Marvel Battleheart clone.
Yeah.
By the way, Battleheart, great dude. If you're looking for good games to play, Battleheart's been around or been out a long time, but that's a really good one to check out.
Well, Hearthstone too.
Hearthstone, of course. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I've been playing a lot lately. On iPad, a lot of Tomb Raider Go, which is really good. And one I can recommend that I've never mentioned on the show before. I had to pull it up to figure out what it's called. Where the hell is it? There it is. Commute. And basically you've got a 3/4 view over a city and you're in control of a car and it says you need to get this car over to the dentist's office, which is over here. So you plot out a little path and the car drives the path and goes to the dentist office. And then it starts that morning over again, gives you another car that has to get over to the grocery store and you drive that one. But pretty soon you've got like 10 cars all driving on the same roads and it repeats your first moves along with all of your additional ones. So you've got the dude driving to the dentist.
So you're setting your own puzzle as you play this.
Right, exactly. And you've basically got to say, okay, in order for this person not to crash into the dude going to the dentist, they're going to have to like go around the block once and then loop over or take this alternate route. And that's called Commute. Has absolutely nothing to do with Marvel or Disney or anything. But if you're looking for a good mobile game, that's a really good one.
I can't say that there's any great, fantastic Marvel iOS games out there. I mean, whatever floats your boat, there's a game out there that is playable. But I keep coming back to Facebook and MAA no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, the Spider-Man Unlimited Endless Runner is actually pretty good, yeah.
I mean, they're decent. I mean, Future Fight's good. Mm-hmm. It's just, whatever happens. Yeah.
What's
the Battle World one?
Contest of Champions.
Contest of Champions, thank you. Mm-hmm. That was good if really you like fighters.
Push. Yeah, and they're doing a really big push at New York Comic Con on that as well. They're going to have a Contest of Champions stage demo. So nothing for MAA, but they're really pushing Future Fight, Contest of Champions, and Lego Marvel at NYCC.
Yeah, Lego Marvel is a good one if you like the Lego series. So there's stuff out there, but nothing. There's no game in the world I can think of. And I don't know every game, of course, but there's nothing out there that I found that's like MAA in any branch. I mean, there's no game like this. There's not an off-brand version of this, you know?
Right.
So if you're looking for the 3-on-3 strategy that has PvP and great storyline and characters you like, Puffin, that's your game. You need to get the Puffin browser and play right. Facebook you on your tablet. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and don't play that, whatever it was that was like tiny alternate, not quite Mighty Marvel.
Tiny, yeah, the Mighty Tiny Heroes Unite, that is not Marvel at all, people.
I just got an invite to play that in Facebook and I clicked on it and I'm like, oh no, I don't want this. This just makes me feel dirty inside.
Yeah, it's weird. So, all right, where are we? Lost my notes here. Here we go. Oh, that's it. Okay, cool.
That's it.
So we're it for today. Thank you everybody for writing in and doing that. If you'd like to get your emails read on the show, send them to us at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. If you'd like to read them yourself or go back through the archives, we don't have every email ever sent, but at some point we did start keeping them. It's called From the Flight Deck on the website. That's thehelicarrier.com currently. And you can do From the Flight Deck. It has all the emails that have been sent in. And you can also sign up for the newsletter and they'll get sent to you every Saturday afternoon. It's 100. Unless we have some big push of something going on with the show, typically the newsletter carries just all the emails so you can read them at your leisure. So there we go. Here comes Mike with the info.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. agents. This has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, except on iOS, the boss has fled.